Today on Impact for Living, founder, sports and business leader, and pastor Scott Whitaker will challenge you to reach your God-given potential and impact, which you were created to have with and for Jesus Christ in the world. Now, here's Scott with today's message.
This morning, I want to read from the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, beginning at verse 2. And I'm reading from the Living Bible translation. The people who walk in darkness shall see a great light, a light that will shine on all those who live in the land of deep darkness. For Israel will again be great, for God will break the chains that bind his people and the whip that scourges them. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. His ever-expanding, peaceful government will never end. He will bring true justice and peace to all the nations of the world. Well, I wonder what it would have been like living in those days where people were depicted by the prophet Isaiah as walking in darkness. I wonder if Isaiah would think that today is anything like back then as far as a darkness being in the world. Of course, we know that the sun always rises to break the darkness of each night and enter a new morning for us. I have a pretty good idea, though, of what walking in darkness day after day feels like and looks like personally, because I've been through it at times where it's hard to see any light breaking through at all. Our journey is one of disappointment and difficulty, one after another, with uncertainty always, it seems, just around the corner. But I'll bet we have all been there at some time or another in our lives. You wonder if the darkness that Isaiah was speaking about was born out of despair or economic hardships or oppression from others around them. Actually, though, the darkness blanketing those days around 700 to 680 BC before Christ were the result of none of those I mentioned. The times then were fairly affluent times of relative peace and prosperity. Isaiah himself came from affluence, was well-educated, young, and had influence in all the right places. Yet, Isaiah depicted those as times of darkness, pointing out that the people lived in the land of deep darkness. What did he mean? But he said it for good reason. Because the darkness in those times was because the people had forgotten God, where idols and idolatry of many forms and fashion had taken over their day-to-day living. They were times marked by abuses of power, of self-dealing, extortion, drunkenness, greed, idleness, power, worldly values, deceit, corruption, etc., etc. The people of the day had forsaken their God, the one true God, and sought refuge in things of the world. The darkness was because they had fallen away from the guiding hand of God. That is why Isaiah was called forth by God, to issue a clarion call to all who would hear and to all who would listen, to walk, if not run, out of the darkness and back into the light. Isaiah was summoned and sent to point the people once again toward the light of God's word, toward the light of God's presence, and to raise in their hearts and minds the expectation and hope of the coming of the Christ, the one great light. Here we are today, years later, and the light has come into our world. But you would have to wonder, looking around, if we see it. Is it any different today than what Isaiah saw before? Maybe we need to hear the call of Isaiah again, calling us back to that one true light, a light which is here, which has always been here, but I suggest that we desperately need once again to turn to in our world, a world where darkness seems to be spreading as we continue to allow God to be removed from every corner of our lives and our nation, where we are surprised when we hear a prayer before a public gathering, whether at a sports event, political gathering, or educational venue, where members of community associations and businesses decorating for Christmas are asked to or directed to be mindful of the diversity of the members or patrons that they serve. Quick translation, no mention or reference to Christ or manger in your Christmas decorations. My friends, look, the call of God through Isaiah still reverberates and echoes through the ages to where you and I are today. It is the Word of God, which is relevant forever and ever and ever. And I wonder if we will hear it over the noise of so many other voices around us. Who and what are we listening to? Because, my friends, here's the truth. We desperately need to hear the call of Isaiah once again. We need to hear again that a light has come. We need to see that the light has come, that it has been here. We need to believe and claim that light afresh and anew for our lives. Then let that light lead us and live through our lives. Here we are, rounding out of Thanksgiving and heading toward Christmas, and I wonder if we've stopped long enough to understand that. What will our experience of the next few weeks be like, and with whom will we share? What will we look for? What will our time be spent on in the days heading toward Christmas? More spending sprees for gifts to commemorate the season? That's good. That's fine. More distractions and busyness wrapped in the priorities of the world, all diverting our focus away from that one true light? Maybe that's not so good. Or perhaps this year, there will be more of those times the prophet calls us to as we walk out of darkness and turn toward the light of Christ. More of those times that should occupy every waking day of every year of our lives, time spent with the one the prophet calls out to us about, that great light, the light that is the Christ child. It's that time again, my friends, time to be reminded again that the light is still here. He came in a manger over 2,000 years ago for you and for me, the light of Christ, to light all the darkness of our lives and the world, if we will let it. It's always been here for you and for me, but in case we lost sight of it in the surrounding darkness of the world's ways, the voice of Isaiah calls out to us to remind us once again of the great light, the light of Christ. That's where we're headed. We're headed toward Christmas, toward that light of the Christ child. Let me leave you with this. When Nathan and Amy lived in Tampa, Nathan was working with the Tampa Bay Bucks at the time, and Linda and I would look for almost any reason to travel to Tampa to visit our children and, at the time, just one granddaughter, Hannah. So on one weekend close to Christmas, and Nathan was really busy with the Tampa Bay Bucks who were in the playoffs, and then Linda drove down for a few days to help our daughter-in-law, Amy, make some final preparations and do some final decorating for Christmas. As children of all ages love to do at Christmas time, one evening while Linda was there, she and Hannah walked around the neighborhood after dinner just to look at the Christmas lights. It was a glorious time as Linda saw again through the eyes of our beloved 2.5-year-old granddaughter at the time, the beauty of the lights on all the homes that surrounded their every step. Linda was reminded again through the excited sounds from our precious Hannah of God's strange plan to save the world, and that indeed a light was invading us again. A light that overcame the darkness in the world over 2,000 years ago and overcame the darkness in that neighborhood and in the world that night, and is a light that continues to overcome the darkness of our lives. And just in case Linda had somehow missed it while they walked the neighborhood, when they returned home from their walk, Hannah looked up into her Mimi's eyes, reached up toward Mimi as Linda leaned down, and Hannah held Mimi's face between her precious little hands like those of a baby and said, "Merry Christmas for you, Mimi." And that's what the baby Jesus is doing for you and me again today, reaching up and holding our face with his tiny hands and saying, "Merry Christmas to you, Scott. Merry Christmas for you, Linda. Merry Christmas for you, John and Sarah and Leslie and Ellie and Gary," and on and on. That's what's happening again for each of us A light has come into the world through a baby in a manger which all the darkness of the world has not overcome and will not ever overcome. Ever. That light is here again, and we dare not ignore it because it can make all the difference in our lives. No matter what is going on in your lives, just hang on, because the light of Christ is here to penetrate that difficulty, that despair, that darkness, that we can punch our head through the clouds and see that light of Christ always there for us. Listen for the voice of Isaiah, still here, and look for the light always here, the light of Christ. It will make all the difference in your life and mine and in all the world, now and forever and ever and ever. Amen and amen. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for this reminder. We're headed toward the Christmas celebration. We're headed toward the celebration of the moment that light came into the world. The light of the baby Jesus, the light of Christ that you sent for us. Help us to turn back to it. Lord, you know we haven't. You know there are times that we don't. Help us to turn back to it. Help us to turn back to that light of Christ and allow it to lead us and to move us and to guide us in everything we do and every step that we take. Help us to just let that light fill us, direct us, empower us to be all that you created us to be, and help us to be that for others with you and your guidance. Today is the day we remember the Pearl Harbor tragedy, Lord, and all those then, before, and after have given their lives for this great nation so that we might live here, so we might spend time, so we might pray together. Lord, thank you for that. Help us to remember that why they did it is so that ultimately we would have peace, and we know ultimately peace comes through you, eternal peace through you today and forever as we commit our lives to you as our Savior and Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all you do for us and with us. Thanks for loving us. In your Son's precious, precious name we pray, that light of Christ, that baby in the manger. Amen and amen.
We hope that Scott's message today has challenged and encouraged you. Thank you for being with us, and be sure to join Scott and Impact for Living next week for another faith-filled message focused on God's plan and purpose for your life.